Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Undertow. Here's today's host, a teacher, author, and storyteller from Connecticut, Matthew Dix.
It's my pleasure to introduce Drew Prohaska, ladies and gentlemen.
When I was 7 years old, I saw the movie Jaws for the first time. And as soon as I saw that shark kill the boy on the rubber raft and the little boy just turns into this fountain of gore, like I knew that I was gonna get eaten by a shark, you know? I didn't need anybody to tell me my future. It was, I was gonna get chewed to death by something hideous with gills, you know? And it's an irrational fear, but irrational fear is the force that binds my atoms together, you know? It wasn't just sharks that I was afraid of, it was sort of everything under the sea, you know? Like, the ocean just seemed like this H.P. Lovecraft hellscape of things with tentacles and beaks and spines filled with poison, you know? And I would have gladly boiled the ocean if I could, but it's weird to be afraid of the ocean when you have parents who are avid sailors. You have a brother who's a sea captain and a scuba instructor, and a sister who teaches marine biology and builds submersible robots in her spare time for fun, you know? You can't hold on to these kinds of fears as an adult and, you know, still consider yourself a man, I think. And I'm a grown-ass man, you know? Really. And so I made a deal with myself. I said, every year I'm going to travel to another foreign country and try to confront one of these fears. And so 6 years ago, I booked a flight to Cape Town, South Africa, because if you've ever seen the Air Jaws documentary on the Discovery Channel during Shark Week, you'll know that in Cape Town, South Africa, great white sharks can fly. They jump out of the water. So I book my flight, and I have these panicky weeks like building up to my trip where I'm just Googling shark statistics, you know, like how many people are killed by a great white shark every year. And as it turns out, the number is one person. Each year, but I'm thinking, it's May. Has it happened yet? You know, and when I was a little kid, I remember, you know, like somebody telling me, like, you know, if you're ever attacked by a great white shark, you just punch it in the nose. But now apparently that's not the case. That just pisses them off. So what you're supposed to do if you're ever in the mouth of a great white shark is just gouge at their eyes with your thumbs. Like, come on, like really, you know? So I just decided if I was ever bitten by a great white shark, I would just soil myself with such volume that it would swim off in search of less pathetic prey, you know? So when I get to South Africa, I book a trip on the boat from the Air Jaws documentary, because that boat had pioneered this method to actually get the great white sharks to breach out of the water. They do this by towing a foam rubber seal behind the boat. And the reason why great white sharks jump out of the water in Cape Town is because there's an island called Seal Island in the bay there, and it's just teeming with thousands and thousands of seals. And a seal can outmaneuver a great white shark. So what the great whites will do is they will swim to the bottom of the bay, to the great murky depths, and they will wait for a herd of herd? herd of seals, that sounds right, to swim overhead, and they'll wait for like a straggler seal, and they'll wait for that seal to just, you know, lag behind, and then they'll just launch themselves towards that seal with such velocity that its entire body will leave the water. And like if you see it in any of these documentaries, it's always the same. There's just this like bass drum that goes bum 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 bum, and you see the seal just sort of darting through the water for its dear life, bum 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 bum, and then you see this mouth just emerge from the water, like filled with like teeth like broken glass, you know, and bum 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 bum, and these eyes will just, these black eyes of these shark will just like roll back in its head, and its entire body will leave the water, and its a massive tail will whip around, and you'll see this expression on the seal's face like, no, as 2.5 tons of shark just bear down on it with its teeth, you know? And I saw this with my own eyes at sunrise, standing on the deck of the Air Jaws boat, and it looked like this. Bloop. It was like half a second. So for a while we can't get any sharks close to the boat. So the captain of the boat, he throttles the engine down to this slow growl. And they lower the shark cage into the water, and they tied it to the side of the boat, and they get out this great big cooler full of chum, you know, guts and gore, and you know, I asked the captain, I'm like, aren't you nervous that like one of these sharks is gonna jump out of the boat and like land in the cockpit? And he goes, mate, I don't do accents. All my accents, I do pirate. That's it. So he's like, mate, that's my biggest fear. He's like, that a shark's gonna jump out of the water and land in. He's like, it happened on this German boat a few years ago. This great white jumped out of the water, landed in the cockpit, and crushed this guy's legs. And I was like, oh my God. And he's like, I know. And I'm like, but what? That's a badass way to lose your legs, you know? So they break this cooler out, and they start chumming the water, and they reach it into the, and they pull out this giant tuna head, and they pluck its eyes out with a knife, you know, and they thread this rope through the eye sockets, and they just throw it out into the, that's gross, and they throw it out into the water, and it's not long before the first dorsal fin appears around the boat, and there circling the boat is Jaws. And then another dorsal fin appears. It's Jaws 2. And I creep into the center of the boat as everyone's getting their scuba gear on. I find the exact center of the boat, and I just start to shake. And I can't move, I can't breathe. And the captain walks over to me, and he says, "You all right, mate?" And I said, no, I'm really, really not okay. I don't think I can do this. And he says, well, what are you afraid of? And I said, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there's two f***ing great white sharks circling this boat right now. I mean, these were 14-foot sharks, you know? And he says, that right there? He said, you're afraid of that? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, mate, that's just Tim. And he points to the other shark and he goes, that there, that's just Sally. And he just gave these sharks names. And it was all the fear in me just sort of melted out of my toes at once. And I took a breath. And I put on that scuba gear, and I stepped over the edge of the boat and into the shark cage. And for a minute, there's just bubbles and this red cloud of chum. And then Tim the shark just blasts by the cage like a subway car, so big, I feel like I could have stood up inside of him, you know? And then I look down, and this dark spot on the ocean floor gets bigger and bigger as the mouth from my nightmares drifts towards the cage I'm standing in, and Sally the shark just very slowly drifts past the cage and just sort of nibbles at the tuna head. And it was so peaceful and so quiet. It was the most beautiful and amazing thing that I had ever been in close proximity of before. I couldn't have been less afraid. You know, it was incredible. Now, that evening, I happened to have a friend who was in Cape Town at the same time as me, and I was going to meet her at a restaurant near the waterfront. And it was about a mile walk, and I decided to just, you know, take it. And the sun has just come down, and I'm walking towards the waterfront, and this homeless guy starts walking next to me, and he goes, "Can I have some money?" And I only had like large bills on me, and I just said, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And "Can I have some money?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't help you." And he's like, he's just being really persistent. And then we turn this corner, and all of a sudden there's no people. And he gives me this shove, and he says, "Don't do anything f***ing stupid." And he motions down, and he's got this filed down, like a shiv, like a filed down piece of metal, like a spike. And he says, "Give me all your money." And he was younger than me and more fit, and I'm not Chuck Norris. All I could do was say, you asshole, you f***ing asshole. I gave him my money. I'm not stupid, but like the only thing I could do was just yell at him like, "You piece, I hope you drown in sh-," you know? And then he holds the spike up and he says, "Give me your keys." And I said, "F*** off." And he did. And I was standing there alone on this dark street, just shaking, just so furious and so angry at this guy. I'm feeling so many things at once. But the one thing that I didn't feel throughout the whole thing was fear. Because that guy who had just threatened to kill me, that was just Tim. You know? That was just Sally. Thank you.
When Drew is not battling sharks and thieves, Drew is a 2-time Moth Story Slam winner who has been featured on Risk, The Story Collider, and Yum's the Word podcasts. In December of 2016, he debuted his solo show, The Artichoke Queen, at Standard Toy Craft in Brooklyn. He now lives in Beacon, New York, with his dog, Lula. Drew Prohaska, ladies and gentlemen.
We went backstage before the show to catch up with today's storyteller. They shared some personal tidbits that aren't included in their story.
Drew Prohaska, can you tell me, what's your connection to Maine?
My parents moved here about 4 years ago to Belfast, and I love it up here.
Great. All right. So how did you get into storytelling?
I was a huge fan of Risk, which is a podcast. It's a lot like The Moth, but much filthier.
Yes, I'm doing it tomorrow night, actually. Yes, for the first time. So what is your process for preparing to tell a story?
I record myself and make sure it's under the time limit, and then I listen to it repeatedly before a show.
All right, and so tell us about one part of your story, some behind-the-scenes detail that you're not going to include in the story tonight.
On the boat that I was on, the captain told me that very recently the guys from Jackass had been on it, and that they were, Steve-O from Jackass was doing cannonballs into the water around the great white sharks.
Not something I assume you did.
No.
All right. Thank you, Drew.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.